if you have any background music, you can play it. And will this side come up this way, and this side, of course, come on up and receive the elements.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. He's living, He loved me, dying, He saved. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
We pray, Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for this Palm Sunday. We thank You for Resurrection Day next week. We thank You, Lord, for what You have done for us by dying on the cross for our sin. We thank You, Lord, that You have rose again from the dead, that You are the risen Savior, and we just praise Your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in His Word, it says, "For I have received from the Lord what also I delivered to you," the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed and took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, "This is my body which for you, which is shed, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me," shall we eat. In the same way, Jesus, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Shall we drink? And now let's give the Lord a praise the Lord. And if we can, let's have our little, we got some helpers here, so pass your cups to the center and our little helpers here.
80, 90, 100, maybe even a little bit more years. But when you finish this life, there is another place to be, amen? For everyone who believes in Christ Jesus, your destination is heaven, amen? Because heaven is your home. And if you go with me to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to look at some things that are in heaven, and we're going to hear some more testimonies of people who have seen there, or seen it, and we're going to talk about how you can be registered, amen? If you want to spend eternity in heaven, you must get your reservations in now. And you must reserve a place, and I will tell you exactly how to do that. Amen? But, you know, heaven is a place that has been prepared for you. The Bible says that we are citizens in heaven. And everyone who calls Jesus Lord and Savior, your name gets written into a book, and that means that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you're born again. And that's all you need to do to register for heaven. But we'll talk more about that in just a moment. And in Matthew 19, let's look at verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" Do you realize there's no good thing that you can do to have eternal life? Eternal life does not come from being good. It is a gift from God. Okay? So this person came to Jesus, and he's inquiring what good thing that he could do. If we could be good enough to get to heaven, Jesus would not have needed to come. But how many know Jesus needed to come because there's not one person on this earth that could be good enough to get into heaven? "And he said unto him, 'Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments.'" How many know that Jesus is still into us keeping his commandments? Amen? And when you think about it, Jesus didn't give us suggestions. He didn't say, "Do this if you feel like it." He gave us commandments. Amen? And then he said to him, "Which?" Jesus said, "You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, obviously, Jesus didn't list all the commandments. "And the young man said unto him, 'All these I have kept from my youth up. What do I lack?'" He's kind of an arrogant person. "And Jesus said to him, 'If you will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, that you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.'" Did you know that heaven is a place where you can store treasure? And anything that you do for God, if God tells you to do something and you do it, anything that you give for God out of a heart of love, out of a pure motive, you are putting a treasure into heaven where moth and rust cannot come in and corrupt your treasure. Amen? Now, a lot of people, they spend their treasure for here on earth. But I have yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can make all the investments that you want in this earth, but you can't take anything with you in heaven except for one. You can take people with you. Amen? And because heaven is our home, we want, listen, heaven is a home that is well kept. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to spruce it up. Amen. It's ready for people to go there right now. I mean, people can go there in a moment and they won't be like, let me just throw this stuff into the closet. You know, I mean, I don't know, but we live in life, don't we? And sometimes all of our rooms aren't as neat as they should be. Now, when I say this, I am speaking to myself, okay? And, you know, we all have that room in the house when someone unexpectedly comes into your house, you're like, you're shoving all the stuff in there. But heaven is not that way. Heaven has been ready before the beginning of time. And heaven is a place that Jesus wants people to be. Jesus desired that people would be where he is. God wants you to go to heaven. He has given the world an invitation to come to heaven. And, you know, just because God invites you to heaven doesn't mean you're going to go there today. Amen? But there is treasure. You can put treasure in heaven. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Don't spend your life just sowing into the temporal realm that we live in right now. Because there's something beyond this world. Amen? There's something better and greater. And as you follow God, heaven is really a reward. So in Luke chapter 12, and let's go to verse 31. Jesus said here, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He was talking about our priorities in life. God has to be number one in your life. If he's number two, your priorities are out of order, and your life, I don't care how much you amass here on earth, your life will end up as a mess if God is not number one. But aren't you glad if God is not number one, you can make a simple shift. Amen? Let's make God number one today in our lives. Amen. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm telling you, God gets excited when he gives people his kingdom. It pleases him. It is God's good pleasure. God wants you to have the kingdom. It's like Jesus is saying, here are the keys to the kingdom. Go and have fun. I mean, it pleases God's heart. Okay, so he wants us to have the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Alms are giving to the poor. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that fails not. Did you know that your treasure in heaven is not going to fail? You know, while we're on earth, people who work or have retired from work, you know, we have the opportunity to invest for the future. Maybe you have an IRA. Maybe you have a 401k. You know, maybe you have something that you're taking money and you're putting it away for the future. What you're doing is you're investing that. Amen? And you're hoping to have more money then than what you do now. You hope that what you put into it now will earn interest and it'll grow. And when you get to the point where you can stop working, then you still have income to rely on. But how many know that we need to invest in heaven? We need to store. We need to do things that heaven likes. We need to be involved with things that heaven is involved in. Amen? And, you know, Jesus was very firm about his ministry. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he was going from one place to the next place, and he wanted to preach the message of the kingdom. He would go, he'd tell his disciples, he said, go and tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? And he would go and give people an opportunity to choose. God never forces you, but he gives you an opportunity to choose. But your treasure in heaven is not going to fail, and moth isn't going to corrupt it. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you know that your treasure is linked directly to your heart? And you invest in things that you value. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Okay? So make sure. Now, you know, God doesn't want us to just take everything and invest it into heaven. He wants us to enjoy life too. Amen? But when you share your testimony, when you tell someone about Jesus, when you pray for someone, when you help someone, when you support God's organization, that's all putting treasure into heaven. You know, there are so many ways to invest in heaven. Amen? And this is what he's telling us. Who's talking here? Where did Jesus come from? Jesus came from heaven. Did you know that Hebrews tells us that when we pay tithes, he receives it in heaven? Oh, did you know that tithing is investing in heaven? Amen. Giving offerings are investing in heaven? As long as you're motivated by love. Amen? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be opened unto him immediately. So, you know what? This is a place where you can come and get ready for heaven. We have heaven training every Wednesday, every Sunday, once a month on Saturday for men, once a month on Saturday for women, every other Tuesday for youth. You can come and be trained for heaven. Amen? And any other thing that we do, we provide training for heaven, and we will help you get registered. We'll help you get your reservation in heaven. Amen? You know, if you were going to go to, if you were going to go fly somewhere, you could either make a reservation online, or you could do it by phone, or you could actually go to the airport, to the ticket booth, and you got to make a reservation, because if you don't have a reservation, you will not be on that flight. Is that right? You can't just show up at the airport and say, here I am. They say, where's your ticket? Well, I don't have one. It doesn't work that way. You've got to purchase your ticket beforehand. Now, your ticket for heaven has already been paid for. Jesus has already provided for everyone. He paid the ticket for everyone on this planet to go to heaven. But just some people will not go to the ticket booth and pick up their ticket. But your treasure is in heaven. And God prepared a place. Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also. So right now as we speak, Jesus is preparing. He's building a place. He's building a mansion. We have a part in God's kingdom and in God's house. Amen? So we got to put our treasure in heaven. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this one really, really excites me, and you'll see why in just a minute. Because it talks about inheritance. You know, I get excited when I hear the word inheritance. It sets a fire in my bones. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. It says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, did you know it's because of God's mercy that we can even have an invitation to go to heaven? Has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you know that you have a lively hope, a living hope? Yes. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So when you get to heaven, as long as you've been following Jesus Christ on this earth, as long as you've called upon Jesus as your Savior, you have an incorruptible, undefiled, unfading away inheritance that's reserved for you in heaven. So when you get to heaven, you're going to get some more stuff when you get there. You're going to get the inheritance that was entitled to you. See, because right now, we have just a down payment of what's to come. Well, you say, well, you know, I don't know if I can go to church. You know what? Going to church doesn't save you. But having a relationship with Jesus saves you. We know the story of Jesus' crucifixion. He was crucified between two thieves. Now, the thieves did not doubt why they were there. They committed crimes, and they were caught, and they were tried, and they were sentenced to death. Jesus committed no crime. Jesus did nothing wrong. Matter of fact, Jesus did not sin. But yet, he was crucified because he had to purchase our redemption. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And one of the thieves, he looked at Jesus and he despised him. He said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get down? Why don't you help us get down? He was just talking down to him. But the other thief, he said, Lord, remember me today. Now that thief could not go to church. He was hanging on a cross. He was stuck there, but he could open his mouth. He could make a confession of faith. And the Bible does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus looked at that thief. And because he asked Jesus to remember him, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. See, now paradise was a place, it was Abraham's bosom. It was kind of like a place where they held believers because Jesus had to be resurrected first because the Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead. So until Jesus resurrected, everyone who died before Jesus' resurrection, who believed in Jesus Christ, who believed in salvation, they were in a place called Abraham's bosom. It was also called paradise. All right? And when Jesus died, when that thief died, Jesus took that thief into paradise. And on the third day when Jesus rose and he went down and he led captivity captive, he brought everyone who was in paradise into heaven. Amen. And everyone from paradise, they went to heaven, and there was great joy. They were gathering their inheritance. They were having a good time on the streets of gold, and they were enjoying what God has prepared for them. And I don't know about you, but I want to do that too. So you have an incorruptible inheritance in heaven. And notice that it is reserved for you. And if you have your reservation, then you also have your inheritance. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Did you know that people in heaven are aware of things that are happening here? Especially spiritual things. Notice, this is good news. Luke chapter 15 and let's look at verse 7. Now who's talking here? So he's giving us a personal testimony of what happens where he came from. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which needs no repentance. So when one person repents, that means they make a decision to change. When a person makes a decision to change, you stop doing what's evil and you start doing what's right. That's a change. When one person repents, there is what in heaven? There's joy. The angels throw a party. I'm telling you what, there's no one who celebrates life more than Jesus. Amen. So maybe you're a person today and you need to change. Just make that change and there'll be great joy in heaven over you. It breaks God's heart when we break his laws and separate ourselves from him. Isn't that true? Adam went from walking with God in the cool of the day to hiding from God when he came down to fellowship with him. What changed in Adam that he wanted to hide from God, the person that he walked with many times earlier? It was because Adam sinned. And his sin separated him from the life of God. And the only way that that bridge could be repaired was for one to come and give his life. Amen? And Jesus is called the second Adam. So where the first Adam failed, the second Adam won. He got the victory. He achieved what the first Adam couldn't. And because the second Adam was successful, he invited all of his friends, all of his brothers, and all of his sisters to join him and to be part of God's family. And there is hope laid up for you in heaven. Did you know that there's hope in heaven? And Jesus is our hope. When Jesus returns again, we call it the blessed hope. Everything that I've been hoping, everything that I've been expecting, everything that I've been desiring is going to happen when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes back to this earth from heaven, and every person who believes in him, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And our bodies are going to be just like his body. Amen? This corruption is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to have a glorified body the moment that Jesus comes back again. Hallelujah. So those are some other things that are in heaven. And you can listen to the message online or with a CD to listen to some of the things that we talked about that are in heaven before. Go with me to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. If I was a defense attorney and we were in a courthouse, I would present to you evidence of why I know that heaven exists. And as part of my defense strategy, I'm going to bring in eyewitnesses that have seen heaven. And we have their testimony on an affidavit recorded. You know, an affidavit is just, it's proof that your statement was true. And here is a person who had a glimpse of heaven, and it was recorded for our benefit. And so Genesis 28, and let's go down to verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Because the sun was set, he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. How many woke up this morning feeling like you slept on rocks? And he lay down in that place to sleep. How was your sleep? Oh, I don't know, man. It felt like I was sleeping on rocks. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to where? To heaven. So Jacob is sleeping and he's dreaming this dream. And he sees this ladder. And it's on the earth, but yet it reaches heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Well, you think if they're angels, they'd use an elevator or something, but they use ladders. I can just see the angels sliding down the ladders to earth. Did you know that angels are ministering spirits? And they were sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. God has angels. Some angels bring messages. Some angels do warfare. Some angels do other things. But God's got angels. Aren't you glad? Angels, more than one angel, was ascending and descending on this ladder. There is a connection from heaven to earth. And those who believe in God, they can rely on angels to help them in situations. I know that when I was in Sierra Leone and I was in a head-on collision, there was an angel in that car with me. Too many times I have been faced with life-threatening situations, but I'm still here today. Amen? You know, that's good news. That tells me even though the enemy tried to take me out, he's not successful. Say this with me. Say, the enemy can't take me out. That's good news. He may try, but he will not be successful because no weapon formed against you will prosper. See, I get really excited about heaven. And behold, verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it. So he's seeing these angels, he's seeing this ladder, and now he sees the Lord at the top. And he said, now the Lord is talking to him in his dream, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Did you know that Abraham's still alive? Abraham is in heaven. When you get to heaven, you can go meet Abraham. You can have a talk with David. Maybe Esther and Ruth will come to your house for dinner. They're all part of the grandstand. I'm the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you are on, whereon you lie, to you I will give it and to your seed. So God promises Jacob that he's going to give him the land that he's laying on. How many know it is important to be where you need to be? What if Jacob was in the wrong place? God might have said, I'm not going to give you that, I'm going to give you this. And too many times, we don't listen to God and we end up in the wrong places sometimes, don't we? And when we're in the wrong place, we get a bad consequence. But when we're in the right place, we get what God wants us to have. All of us have done things that we shouldn't have done because we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad. You know what? Where does dust come from in the house? You could dust something, and a week later, there's dust on the thing. Can you imagine having your seed like the dust? It just keeps showing up, and it multiplies. It's like when you dust something, it shows up and it brings relatives with it. All you can do is wipe dust for a time because it will be back. But this was good news. God was fulfilling his promise that he spoke to Abraham. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all the places where you go. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't that be comforting to know that God is with you and that he'll keep you in all the places that you're going to go? Say, God is with me. Say, God can keep me. And bring you again to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken for you. Now, God is giving Jacob a message from heaven. And verse 16, Jacob woke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I can imagine, you know, that would be an awesome dream to have. But that dream speaks of a reality. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. God, let me tell you something. It never will be, it never was God's desire for people to go to hell. Matter of fact, people go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ. Because they buy into a false religion and they're deceived. You know, when someone's deceived, they don't know it. Right? I mean, the Apostle Paul thought he was doing right when he was persecuting Christians and killing them. He thought he was right until he got exposed to the truth. Jesus showed up to him. But Jacob saw a glimpse of heaven. He didn't see what John saw. His experience was different than that of Paul's. But Jacob saw into heaven, and God gave him a message. And there was a divine connection between heaven and earth. God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And every person that puts their faith in Jesus Christ, we are here as ambassadors representing heaven. And it is up to us to share with others that they can go there too. All right? We have to be interested in winning the lost. And Jacob called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. Bethlehem, the house of God. That's where Jesus was born, in God's house, right? Isn't that interesting? So that was another eyewitness account. I think that's Exhibit E, presented in this court case. And there'll be more witnesses to come. And we know that there were three people who went to heaven: Elijah, Elisha, and Jesus. Remember, if you read Acts chapter 1, the apostles saw him ascend up into heaven. And he's going to be coming back from heaven. Amen? But now, as we finish up today, I want to talk to you about how to be registered in heaven. How can you be registered in heaven? Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Because maybe after Easter, I'm going to talk about people who won't go into heaven. You know that there are certain kinds of people that won't go into heaven? People who refuse to change. But I'm not talking about that today. Go, whew! All right, Luke chapter 10. And let's look at verses 18 to 20. Jesus had sent the 70 out, and he sent them to towns that he was going to go to. And so these 70, they went out preaching the gospel, and they were preparing the towns to receive Jesus. And they came back, and they were all excited, and they said that, you know, they were excited that the devils were subject to us. Say, the devil's subject to me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and Jesus is your Savior, then the devil is subject to you because Jesus is in you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Okay? And Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So Satan lost his place in heaven. I guess that leaves eternal security out of the picture, because Satan wasn't eternal secure. That's another subject for another time. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Did you know that you have power over all the enemy? Amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names were written in heaven. In order to be registered in heaven, God keeps books in heaven. It's called the Book of Life. And every person who calls upon the name of the Lord, their name is written in this book. And when Jesus, again, he establishes his kingdom on earth, and death and hell, Satan is cast into the lake of fire, he's going to open up the books. Amen? And so I want to talk about this for just a moment. You don't have to go there, but just listen to this. Exodus 32:32. But now, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Moses knew that there was a book written. After all, he wrote 5 books. Did you know that God was a writer? You know that God's into numbers? How do I know that? Because he has a book called Numbers. How did Moses know there was a book? Maybe he saw the book when he was on heaven in Mount Sinai for 40 days. Maybe he had a glimpse of the book. Maybe he saw his name in the book. Say, God's got a book. And my name needs to be in it. Go with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. If you don't know for sure your name's in the book, you can know today before you leave. You don't have to tip the maitre d' $100 to make sure that you have a reservation in heaven. You know, like when you go to a fancy restaurant and you wanna impress your friends, and you know, some restaurants you are required to have a reservation, right? Because they're fancy and they got all this thing. And why is it that fancy restaurants have such small portions? I don't understand that. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation ever to that same time, talking about the tribulation. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. If you want to shine in God's kingdom, be someone who wins souls. Now, it is not your job to convince people that they need to believe in Jesus. It is only your job to tell what Jesus has done for you and to tell the truth about Jesus. You do not have to convince people. And if you tell people about Jesus and they don't accept your offer, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. It is just simply our job to demonstrate the life of Christ and to tell people about Jesus, which are the two main ways on how we can be soul winners: how you live and what you say. Because how you live is, did you know that there are people watching you? Actually, people in this world are watching you, but then people in heaven are watching you too. So Michael was opening the book to check to see if people's names were found in it. You don't get your name in the book automatically. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to believe he's the Son of God. You have to call upon him. You have to confess him as Lord. That is how you get your name. In other words, you have a part to play in it. God gives the same offer to every person. Even though every person's experience of being saved, getting born again, is different, but we all have to have some key elements. We have to believe and we have to confess. And those two things enable us to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to turn there, but in Philemon, or no, maybe it's Philippians. Yeah, it's Philippians, because Philemon only has one chapter. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, I implore Eutychus and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I want you to notice that Paul knew definitely that their names were written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen, when your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you know it. Just like a baby being born, the baby knows it, and everybody else around the baby knows that that baby's been born. Right? When the baby's born, you know it's born. Same thing is true spiritually. When you get born again, you know you're born again. And if you're unsure, the Bible says that these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. So God gives you a written record of the fact when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have passed from death to life. But it is important. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. Well, let's start with verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Did you know that heaven is a city? We're going to talk about that sometime too, just not today. But we're going to talk about how heaven is a large populated city. For all you country folk, if you don't like the city, you're going to like this one because it's the perfect combination of country and city together. Because there's trees in heaven, there's a river in heaven, there's fruits in heaven. So God brings the country and the city together and it's glorious. In other words, God doesn't exclude any person. You are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Heaven's got so many angels that we can't even number them. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that is us. The very reason why you are gathered in the church today, the church simply means an assembly. We have been assembled together because we have been called out of darkness into his light. And just like when Congress is in session, they're called to assemble on Capitol Hill. That's what it means. So we are the General Assembly. We are the church of the firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn, so we are the church of Jesus because he is the head of the church. Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. But I want you to notice that as the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, their names are written in heaven. Say, my name is written in heaven. Because I believe in Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. He came to save me. And I receive him. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. And I surrender all to him. Amen. See, the reason that God didn't make it hard to be registered in his book is because he doesn't want anybody, it's so good, he doesn't want anybody to miss out. Listen, if you want to exclude people from something, you make it hard and difficult. Right? If you don't want a soldier who is wimpy defending this nation, then you're going to weed them out in basic training. You're going to make basic training so hard that the ones who can't take it, they're going to drop out. Right? It's like the Navy SEALs. They're an elite group of soldiers. And they have to go through many trials to become a SEAL. And the ones who can't cut it, they don't make it. But that's not how God works. God made it so easy to have your name written in heaven. God made it so easy for you to register in heaven. And all you've got to do is call upon him and accept him, and that's it. But you know what? Once you call upon him and accept him, then you're obligated to live for him. You can't just live however you want to live once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to follow his ways, his rules, and his commands. Because Moses prayed that if something didn't happen, you blot my name out. So if it wasn't possible to have your name blotted out, he wouldn't have prayed that. Think about that. You know, heaven has a doorway. And people come in the door. Jesus is the door. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. But did you know that if someone wants to reject Jesus, they could go out that same door that they came in? How do I know this? King Saul, through his disobedience, he disobeyed the Lord. What happened? The Spirit of God left him. And the Spirit of God didn't leave him the first time he disobeyed, but he refused to change. He kept disobeying. He kept disobeying. Disobedience was in his heart. And the Spirit of God, the anointing, left him. So if people, listen, Timothy tells us in the last days, it's going to be perilous times. Many shall, what? Depart from the faith. Is it possible to depart from the faith? Yes, it is. You can either accept the offer or you can reject the offer. It's all up to us. Jesus did what he is going to do. He's not going to get on the cross again. That was once and done. He's not going to resurrect again. That was once and done. He doesn't need to do it again. What he did was sufficient for every man to have a part in the family of God. But our names, go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. It is apparent to me, according to that scripture, that someone's name could be blotted out. And we're going to find that out after Easter. So you don't want to miss it. Go to Revelation 13:8. These are people who worship the dragon. How many know the dragon is the devil? If you read the verses before, it talks about the dragon. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if your name hasn't been written in the book of life, then you are currently under Satan's dominion. Did not Jesus tell a group of Pharisees when they came to him, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Did you know that not everybody is a child of God? You've got to choose to be a child. God's already chosen you. Okay. Hopefully I can scare the hell out of you. I'm not cussing. Hell is a place. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of unquenchable fire where the worms don't die, where there's torment and terrible things. You will not have, People in hell do not have a party. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I want to see people go to heaven. I want to be able to look back and I want to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, I did everything I could to bring them to you. I love people just like Jesus loves people. He doesn't wish that any person should perish either. But he wants people to repent. If you want to avoid perishing, then repent and change and call upon the Lord today. Two more places. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13. Revelation 20, 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, hell, and delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And then Revelation 21, verse 27. And I'll close with this. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works an abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The only people who are going to enter into heaven are the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, stand up and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you are unsure, if you have any doubt, would you come to Jesus today? Would you make him your Savior? Is there anybody here who has any doubt as to what their eternal destiny is? In other words, if something were to happen to you tomorrow, do you know for sure, beyond any doubt, that you will spend eternity in heaven? To have your name written in the book of life, it's very easy. Because God wants you to participate. He wants you to be with him. Amen. He wants you to make your reservation now. Amen. Amen? Is there anybody here today, you've never made Jesus your Savior? Or you've made Jesus your Savior, but you haven't been walking the path that you need to be on? Let's make a change today. Let's get it right with God today. Amen? And maybe you're here and you're a believer and you just need power. How many know that God's given us a power generator called the Holy Spirit? Amen. He wants to baptize you in fire. And if you need power in your life to live for God, then God will baptize you in fire. In other words, he'll put some coal in your furnace, right? He'll put some oil in the tank to keep you burning. Amen. He'll put some fuel in your engine. So if you need to be born again, Jesus said you must be born again. So if you're not born again, come up. If you need to repent and make things right with God, come up. Or if you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come up. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a free gift.